In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the beginning of these opening services, we will join in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your good gifts which you have given to us, temporal as well as eternal. We will thank you for our homes and our families, for our friends. We thank you for God's kingdom, where we can be your children of grace and live here. Above all, we thank you for this incomprehensible love which you have shown to us people in giving your Son as a sacrificial atonement for our sins, that anyone who believeth on him does not have to die, but will receive eternal life. We pray still, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I ask to read for this topic of examination from the Gospel of John. From the 21st chapter, from verses 15 and the words are heard in Jesus' name. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Amen. This portion which I read is a few days from the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection after death. These happenings which were in the memories and thoughts of the disciples and in their hearts had awakened fear and confusion. They had been able to follow this loving Savior for about 3 years. They had believed and understood that he is the promised Messiah. As one time as Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that this Son of Man is?" And Peter, being quick to answer, gave this saying on behalf of all of them. "Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus answered, "Your flesh and blood did not enlighten this unto you, but the Spirit of God." And still continued, "And you are Peter, and on this rock I will establish my kingdom." And they gave the keys of loosing and the keys of binding. "He whose sins you forgive on earth, they are forgiven. And he who has been bound, they are bound in heaven." And Jesus did not mean this here, that he gave the keys to a weak person, to Peter, but that to this faith he promised to build his kingdom, where the chief cornerstone was himself, by which this building would stand. But he gave to the disciples the power to forgive sins. And then later, when he appeared to them behind locked doors and blew on them and said to them, "Take ye the Holy Spirit, he whose sins ye forgive, they are forgiven. And to those to which you bind, they will be bound." This gospel, Jesus instructed his disciples to bring forward. But then the disciples had hoped, while Jesus was alive, that he would be a king like David, the promised Messiah, a king which would free the people of Israel from the power of Egypt, or from the power of the Romans, from under the Romans' yoke. But Jesus did not come as a temporal king, but he came as a very lowly one on this earth, that the prophets prophesied of this. He didn't have this form that he would be acceptable to us. No one could look on him as he was crowned. But he carried their sicknesses and he redeemed them from their sins. And as the Old Testament believers believed, and we believe in the fulfilled promises of God, that Jesus has, through his suffering and death, has atoned and fulfilled the law on behalf of all humankind's sin. And everyone who wants to believe can believe for through grace of the gospel which is preached in God's kingdom. They can believe this for themselves, this forgiveness of sins, this beautiful promise. You don't have to measure how your life has been or ponder it. Has there come great sins, or has there come many sins? But every one of us has had sin, has committed sin every day. And without this grace gift, none of us could reach heaven. As the thief on the cross, Jesus promised that you are with me today in paradise. And just as you are, even if you are an unbeliever, you have permission to believe, all your sins forgiven through grace. When the disciples were afraid behind the locked doors, their fear changed to joy when Jesus showed them his wounds in his hands and in his side, and showed how he had won over the of death. But nevertheless, they felt this confusion that how will things go forth? They were and Peter had gone fishing on Lake Gennesaret with seven other disciples. And they had returned momentarily to a familiar profession, to a normal day's work. And so they weren't able to fear and doubt, or to plan the future, but to cling to this work, this fishing. They had fished all night. They had thrown their nets into the water without getting any fish. Then they returned very tired and disappointed to the shore. After this work which they did in vain. But nevertheless, on the shore they saw the fish on the coals, and a man which they could not see or recognize. Jesus stood on the shore and shouted to them, tired men, children, are you hungry? And they received the answer that we haven't eaten anything the whole night. Jesus instructed them to throw their net on the other right side of the boat. And these professional fishermen knew that so early in the morning, when the sun had just risen, that there wouldn't be any possibility to get any fish. But they heard their Savior's loving call and instruction,
and they fulfilled what he said. And when they were pulling the net, it was full of great fish. There came so many fish that the net was about to tear. Peter heard John say, "It is our Master, the Lord." And he hurried to the shore before the others. When the men came to the shore, Peter pulled the net to the shore, and there were 153 big fish. Peter was powerful and quick in his thoughts and in his deeds. And Jesus asked him to bring more fish to be fried. And they ate there in peace. It was certainly a great relief and a great love to the disciples towards Jesus, from the disciples towards Jesus, when they felt his care. They had with their own power tried to and not received anything. But when Jesus instructed them, even though it seemed against their intellect to be foolish, the blessing was overwhelming. There came more than they could understand. And so it is still that Jesus can bless with the food of this small boy. And Jesus blessed the two fish and the bread, and that there was enough for all 5,000 people and the children, and it's still the women and children on top. Thankfulness filled the hearts of the disciples, and when they had eaten and rested, Jesus called Peter to him. Peter was probably with a timid mind, and he remembered how he had gone into the place of a denier on the night of Good Friday, on the evening of Thursday, before Good Friday. Jesus had clung to his sword, and he had tried to defend Jesus and cut the servant of the high priest his ear off. And Jesus said, "Put your sword in the sheath, for he who clings, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword." And Jesus cured this servant and put his ear in place. Peter went and followed Jesus to the prison in the yard of the high priest. And there by the fire, he ended up denying Jesus three times, just as Jesus had prophesied, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice." Peter did not believe this. He was in feelings of strength. He said, "Even though all else would leave you, I will never leave you. And I am ready to die with you." But nevertheless, Jesus became weak when he was being asked, weren't you also with this, in the presence of this Nazarene? And Peter said, I do not know this man. And so it happened twice. But then Peter heard this cock crow and saw the gaze of Jesus. It was full of love towards Peter. Peter turned away and cried bitterly. He felt that the enemy of the soul had tricked him. His strength was not enough against this battle. When he was in the danger of being judged to death, he strayed from the breast of the Savior. When the shepherd is struck down, the flock would separate. Jesus had to go to the end of this road of suffering. Peter was not going walking with him, not a step longer. But Peter had nevertheless remembered that in with the disciples are the keys of losing. He didn't remain crying that night alone, but was able to return to the disciples and confessed his fallings and sins and received them forgiven. But Peter's fall, receiving the grace of repentance, can encourage everyone who has left God's kingdom, who has been tricked by the enemy of souls. It pays to return to the Father's house. There are the words of forgiveness here. Here you can hear, those of you who have strayed far, this promise that you can return just as you are, and you can be dressed in the clothes of righteousness which the Lord Jesus has prepared and earned, this cloak of righteousness of the through the forgiveness of sins. And you can believe unbelief forgiven now in Jesus' name and blood. Jesus began to ask Peter, lovest thou me more than these others? Jesus did not start to blame Peter because of his weakness, or to remind him of his fall, because it was already forgiven and washed away. And Jesus did not want to remember this anymore, but he wanted to concentrate on the greatest question, that lovest thou me? Peter did no longer say with pride that I, of course, love you more than these, but he wanted to experience how Jesus had loved him. This love towards Peter and this love towards you and I began to fulfill this demanding law and this way of suffering. Peter didn't follow him anymore. how Jesus suffered on the cross and shed his innocent blood and gave his life, crying out that it is fulfilled, that all is fulfilled on our behalf, in even Peter's behalf. He experienced this great love in his heart when he remembered what price was paid by Jesus on his behalf. We are not redeemed by gold or silver or by these vain doings, but by this precious atoning blood of Jesus. But when Jesus had confessed his love, Jesus gave him this duty: feed my sheep, or guide my sheep. Jesus on this earth, or Jesus has his own flock on this earth, which is contained of his faith, of people who travel by the instructions of faith. We adults are sheep, and you young ones are the lambs, and Jesus, the shepherd, has promised to carry us. But Jesus gave him, Peter, the duty to guide and to instruct by the word of God, the children of God, that we would remain on the right way, that we would travel in the footsteps of the Lord, the Good Shepherd, that we would hear his voice and his call. And if someone would be straying from this narrow way of life, Jesus instructs Peter, and to all of us, children of God, that we would pause by our brother and sister, and that we would begin to discuss and to ask, what is the condition of your heart? And we would instruct them and warn them of the dangers which are present, that the world has enticed him or her, and it is already seen in their outward deeds. But even though we want to travel in God's kingdom with a group of God's children, Peter was able to guide into the children of God that they would not fall as he had fallen. Peter did not have the ability to look from above and to instruct from above, but that we would travel, be supporting one another from next to them, and with the staff of the gospel we would guide them onto the right way if it seemed that a brother or sister are straying to the right or to the left. Every child of God's petition is this: that if you would, by my deeds of life, would be something somehow against the word of God, that you would come and rebuke and instruct me, and correct me, and care for me with the gospel. This duty Jesus gave to Peter to guide my sheep. And when in another time he asked that, "Lovest thou me?" He gave the duty. And he said, "To feed my sheep. You little children, you are dear to Jesus and important to Jesus." Jesus said that children are like the apple of his eye. If someone would offend one of these little ones, it is better that a millstone would be hung around his neck than that he would offend one of these little lambs, these children of God. For this reason, Jesus instructed that Peter would feed these lambs. This same instruction is given to you, dear mothers and fathers, and to grandparents, and the siblings of the parents, that you would feed these little ones with the word of God, that you would tell them of the good shepherd, of this good shepherd who wants to take these little lambs into his lap and bring them all the way to heaven, the home in heaven. When Jesus the third time asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter became sorrowful or grieved that Jesus the third time asked the same matter. And he answered, "You know everything, Lord. You know that I love thee." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus wanted to care for his own sheep. He was the good shepherd which gave his life. And his love towards us sheep. He, in the way of the good shepherd, he wanted to guide us to these green pastures to rest, to become nourished in these still waters. And now even in these beginning services, the Opisto services, with this prayer of heart that the Heavenly Father would feed us with this bread of life, that would let us rest with my heart and souls in the care of this grace word, to feel this brotherly love towards one another. And this mind would awaken that I want to, in the midst of this flock journey, and where the good shepherd guides us to the better pastures and to the glory of heaven. Jesus answered Peter yet, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." And here Jesus says, for this reason, that he wanted to tell Peter that how it would be towards the end of his life. It says that Peter died the death of a martyr, death on the cross as Jesus, but he said to those who were putting him on the cross that he has not so valuable to die in the same way as his Savior. And he asked to be crucified head downwards. Peter's suffering on the cross was short. He was able to get away from this land of strife, from under the law, to the glory of heaven. We still have our journey, in the midst of our journey, and none of us know the length of our journey before us. But this we know, that the grace of God is enough. We don't have to doubt that will I be able to reach the destination. The prophet says, let's not say that I am weak, because you live in the midst of the people who have the remission of sins. And you, dear brother and sister, who feel with me that weakly has my journey gone. There are many doubts have come, temptations, and sin has clung to me and slowed my journey. But just for you, this gospel promise is intended. You can believe all your sins and doubts and temptations forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And so is the promise and your permission to believe. And you can believe all your sins forgiven, the beginning of these services. And you little boys and girls, you can also believe all your complaints and your not being obedient, forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And I also would ask that, can I also believe all my sins and doubts forgiven? I want to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.